Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right. For those that don't know what WTW4 means, it means what to watch for. GSMC Football Podcast, episode 399, preseason, week one, what to watch for. So I guess you basically know what today's show is about. We got 12 games going on tonight, being Thursday. We got Panthers-Bills, Bears-Bengals, Buccaneers-Dolphins, Browns-Giants, Steelers-Eagles, Saints-Jaguars, Redskins-Patriots, Rams-Ravens, Titans-Packers, Texans, Chiefs, Cowboys, 49ers, Colts, Seahawks. So basically, that's what's going on tonight. And it's glorious. I understand that I got way too excited for the Hall of Fame game. More than I should have. But football was back. And I feel like my excitement for these games is a bit different, considering the fact that now we're actually going to see some starters play rather than the scrubs the entire time. And when I mean scrubs, I don't literally mean scrubs. I'm just meaning the second and third string guys, the guys who don't get to start. So, yeah, we finally get to see some starting quarterbacks and all that. And it's going to be exciting. So what we're going to do today, since there's 12 games, we're going to do 3 games each segment. Going to talk about what to watch for in these games, meaning which players to look out for and all that. And if there's not too many rookies with these teams or anything like that, then we'll talk about them heading into the season. And we'll try to do that a little bit with every team. So just going to give a little basis on each team as all. So that's how today is going to go. Like I said, I'm excited for it. A lot of football games going on tonight. Off the top of my head, Panthers-Bills is going to be a decent one to watch considering all the starting quarterbacks. Browns-Giants, obviously. Ravens, Rams because of Lamar Jackson, Texans, Chiefs. So, like I said, a lot of great games going on tonight. Not great games, but at least games with some competition. So, let's get it started with the Panthers and Bills game. Last season, both of these teams made the playoffs. Both had the same fate. Both lost in the wild card game. Panthers losing into their divisional rival, the New Orleans Saints. Bills losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game. Both of these teams coming off years where they made playoffs going in different directions, I'd say. At least I think we can agree with that, right? Panthers heading into this season basically just trying to make the playoffs once again and possibly trying to win a little more, meaning trying to get to a Super Bowl. Last time they were in the Super Bowl was 2015, if I'm not mistaken, and if I'm not mistaken, they lost that game. Not by a lot, but basically that offense couldn't do anything, given that that Broncos defense is one of the all-time great defenses ever. So they're on the road to redemption from that. And then you got the Bills, who, I mean, honestly could end up being the worst team in the league. And I don't think they're that far off. Receiver position has been a problem. They tried addressing that by bringing on a guy like Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman hasn't necessarily been the greatest thing for the Browns in his first 2 years. Now that he's a Buffalo Bill, maybe he could change some things up, but the guy has got to be available first. He's only started 18 games over his first 2 seasons. Not necessarily encouraging there. Kelvin Benjamin, I'm curious to see how much he plays in this game. Kelvin Benjamin sure did say a lot when it came to Cam Newton and the Panthers, saying that he wished they never drafted him. Saying that if you would have put him with a much more accurate quarterback, then he would have did a whole lot better. Cam Newton's accuracy has always been a problem, but let's not forget Kelvin Benjamin in his second year, being 2015, missed the entire year with an injury. Coincidentally enough, the Panthers ended up having the best offense in the league that year and also made it to a Super Bowl. So, not sure who the problem was there. But either way, I mean, it's pretty interesting for these two teams. Like I said, going to be watching out to see what Kelvin Benjamin does in this game. But I mean, obviously, we know what the story is with the Bills here heading into this game, and that's their quarterbacks, Nathan Peterman, AJ McCarron, and Josh Allen. Who's going to be the starter week one? And from what I've seen from reporters at camp, neither have really done well to run away with that job. And I think that's kind of predictable. Josh Allen is not really an accurate quarterback, wasn't accurate at Wyoming. AJ McCarron has been a guy who's only started about a few games. And Nathan Peterman threw 5 interceptions in 1 game last season. I mean, that doesn't really tend to make you too excited about the Bills. How do you say the Bills' quarterback situation? One hasn't really played much over his NFL career. Another has accuracy issues. The other likes to throw interceptions. So we'll see what ends up happening here. As for a player to watch too with the Panthers, that's DJ Moore. Looking to see who could finally become that number one receiver. Who can fill that void that Steve Smith left years ago, because no one's been able to do it since. So we'll see how it all goes. As far as wins and losses, that's all irrelevant in preseason. So I don't really think I'm going to predict a game here. I'll go Buffalo Bills. How about that? I'll go Bills for the win here. Just for the fun of it. Just so we get back to picking games for real when the regular season comes. I'll go with the Bills. I figure that all these quarterbacks got to play at least to the best of their ability. So you figure they got a little added motivation there considering it's a quarterback competition. So I got the Bills. I say they cover the 3-point spread. Then we got Bears and Bengals. Bears played last week. Didn't really play any of their starters given it was a Hall of Fame game. First preseason game for the Bengals this season. And, I mean, as far as the Bengals go, obviously you're watching for Jeremy Ross. Only got about 15 to 20 snaps last season. Didn't really get much of an opportunity, but did also deal with injuries, if I'm not mistaken. And as for the Bears, I mean, we'll see what Mitch Trubisky looks like for the first couple of series. I doubt that the Bears really have him playing a long time. Last week, I thought Anthony Miller would play. He didn't, so I'm looking forward to watching him this preseason game. I think he is the best receiver in this draft class. It's probably between him, Ridley, and DJ Moore. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mitch Trubisky and him develop their little connection. Also going to be fun to see him play throughout. Hopefully he plays more than a couple of series. And as for the Bengals, like I said, Jeremy Ross is the guy to watch for. Obviously we know what we get from AJ Green, but Jeremy Ross could end up being not a Jeremy or AJ Green, but more so a guy who takes the double team off of AJ Green, and you got to play man with both. That's a possibility. Plus, this Bengals team has a real solid defense, and I'm curious to see how Joe Mixon does in his second year. So, I mean, as far as expectations for the season for both teams, Bengals, that's a bit of a tougher one to predict because on paper, they got a real solid team. It's just more so a point of can Marvin Lewis get these guys going and playing well. I feel like Marvin Lewis has maybe been there a couple years too long, and maybe the players are starting to be a little fatigued by him. And I mean, anytime you're around someone for that many years, it's going to get kind of old. Shout out to all the married couples out there. But as for the Bears, I mean, their season, they got a bit of wiggle room here. The only real expectation for this season is for Mitch Trubisky to improve. And if he does that, then I think everything else takes care of itself. I don't think Bears fans are necessarily expecting playoffs or anything like that. So, I mean, if the Bears go, would they go 5-11 last year? If they go about 6-10, 7-9, I think everyone's going to be pretty happy just as long as Mitch Trubisky played well. So we'll see about that game. I'm going to go with Chicago winning this one just considering that they're the younger team. Plus, we get to see Chase Daniel, my hero, all right, has only played 78 passes over his career and has made $24 million doing it. I mean, is there anyone else with a better job out there? No. And then for the final game to cover for this first segment, we got the Buccaneers and Dolphins. Both teams played with a little adversity last season given the hurricanes that took place in Florida. Both had to take their bye weeks week one and play 16 games in a row. That wasn't entirely beneficial for either team. Buccaneers had a terrible season. Miami, I mean, played about as poorly as you could with Jay Cutler. Somehow they managed to win six games. That's how bad their season was last season. So, I mean, what we're watching here with Tampa Bay is, how much is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to play? He's going to be the starter for the first three games of the season, so I'm figuring he's got to be running it as the starter with the first team for this game. I mean, it makes no sense to start Jameis Winston, and if Jameis Winston, if he does play, I'm not sure whether or not he does, but if he does, how much is he going to play? Also, with the Buccaneers, you got Ronald Jones, their new running back, taking over for Doug Martin. He's in a bit of a running back competition there, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does against this Miami defense today. And speaking of Miami, I mean, story to watch for here, obviously one of the bigger ones is Ryan Tannehill. Missed all of last season with an ACL injury. Now he's back, preseason game, week one, playing with a brace. So we're going to see what he looks like, how mobile he is, all right, and how he's able to connect with these new receivers, Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson. I'm curious to see how Albert Wilson does this season, too. I think he's going to be a real bright spot for this team. Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake, I guess, seemingly having a bit of a competition for that starting running back spot. So that's one to look for there. And then, obviously, Miami's first-round pick, Minkah Fitzpatrick. I thought he slid a bit in the draft. I figured he was going to be a top seven pick. I thought Miami got extremely lucky taking a guy like him at number 11. So we'll see how he does. But as far as my pick for that game, I'll go Miami. I figure that Brock Osweiler and David Fales got something to play for here. Well, jobs to play for, considering only one of them is going to be the backup. And whoever is in the backup probably going to get cut. So I think those quarterbacks got more to play for there. So I'll go with Miami taking the win against Tampa Bay. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking Browns, Giants, Steelers, Eagles, and then Saints, Jags. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about the Panthers, Bills, Bengals, Bears, Bengals, and then Buccaneers, Dolphins games. Talked about which players to watch for and talked a bit about each team heading into this season. We'll do the same for the next three games. Browns, Giants, Steelers, Eagles, and then Saints, Jaguars. So obviously starting with this Browns and Giants game. Obviously, the biggest story of the game is Baker Mayfield, and we touched on it a bit yesterday. Baker Mayfield, I think, probably most likely won't see the field this season unless Tyrod Taylor somehow gets hurt. I just don't see a way where Tyrod Taylor plays poor enough to the point where Hugh Jackson and the Browns say, yeah, we need Baker Mayfield out there. And if that ends up happening, if Baker Mayfield plays at all this season and it's not because of injury, then something went really wrong for the Browns this season. Because, I mean, we've seen Tyrod Taylor play over the course of his career, more so with the Bills rather than the Ravens, given he didn't really play too much with the Ravens. But, obviously, Tyrod Taylor, not a guy who is going to throw for over 350 yards, three touchdowns. That's just not his game. Tyrod Taylor is an efficient quarterback who won't throw for many yards, but won't turn the ball over and will keep you in position to win the game at all times. I think that's why we saw the Bills make the playoffs last season. Their offense wasn't necessarily something great, But it was good enough to where Tyrod Taylor gave the defense opportunities to go out and do their job and help win the game, and that's what happened. So now you got Tyrod moving over to Cleveland where, I mean, the offense is way better, and I'd say the defense is a bit of a downgrade, but Tyrod Taylor actually has something to work with here rather than what he did over in Buffalo. So, like I said, I think Tyrod Taylor's too good to play poor, poor enough to get benched. But, I mean, weirder things have happened. So I guess all we look for here is just to see how much Baker Mayfield's going to play and how he looks. Looks like he is going to be playing about two quarters. I'm assuming maybe he'll play the first half. I'm sure we'll get Tyrod Taylor for about two series and then have Baker Mayfield finish up the first quarter depending on how much time he gets. And then he'll play the entire second. And if it's not enough time for him, we'll probably see him a tiny bit in the third, but I'm assuming not too much. So we'll see how he does there. And I mean, it is a new era for the Browns. And we talked about it yesterday also, was the fact that Hard Knocks, from what I saw there, their culture still isn't completely fixed, meaning they still got that loser Browns culture still. It's still hanging around there. And we saw that with Jarvis Landry. He tried to pretty much nip that in the back by giving his little speech about how you need to be practicing. Because I guess over in Cleveland, Hugh Jackson has this theory that you get off days if you're an injury-prone player. Guys like Duke Johnson, who have been hurt for a lot of their first couple years, they get scheduled days off just to give them rest and all that. That's not something Jarvis Landry and Todd Haley necessarily agree with. Jarvis Landry voicing his displeasure to the wide receivers and saying they need to be at practice unless they physically can't play. Todd Haley tried giving his two cents, but Hugh Jackson wasn't really feeding into it too much. Hugh Jackson, he knows he runs the show, so he figures whatever he says goes. That's fine, but like I said, maybe that's part of the Browns losing culture right there. Guys sitting out practices when they're healthy, but they've been injured over the course of their career, so you get to sit out. Not necessarily great when Duke Johnson's a man you paid this offseason. You got to have him out there. And like I said, I agree with Jarvis Landry. If you're a bit sore, whatever, then you should be out there unless you just physically can't play. But we'll see what ends up happening with the Browns this season. Like I said, it's just that losing culture still lingers on there. And sure, you could have all the great players you want, but if that little loser mentality is still out there, then it's going to spread. And this Browns team, coaching staff, and everyone needs to do a good enough job to where they weed that out. So we'll see what ends up happening. Also, another player to watch for in this game, though, is Antonio Callaway, cited on Sunday for marijuana possession, driving without a license, and all that. He's going to be playing today. Not sure how much, but the Browns have really liked him. I think he's one of the biggest reasons why Corey Coleman got traded. At the first step chart that was put out, he was labeled as a starter. So obviously the Browns have liked what they've seen, and he just needs to pretty much stay out of trouble and keep his head on straight. We'll see how he does tonight. Let's see, who else? You got Denzel Ward to look forward to, Nick Chubb, and then obviously Saquon Barkley. Odell Beckham Jr. won't be playing in this game tonight, so obviously the best player on that offense, I'm assuming, is going to be Saquon Barkley. There's been a lot of talk about him being one of the best running back prospects ever. Guys love him, saying he's a better prospect than Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, in college, yeah, he looked great with Penn State, sure. But he hasn't played one down in the NFL, and people are already crowning him as if he's the best running back in the league. I want to see how he does tonight against this Browns team. It's going to be interesting seeing him go up against guys like Myles Garrett and that Browns defensive line. So we'll see exactly how well Saquon Barkley does. And even if Saquon Barkley were to run the ball about 10 times for 5 yards, that's not something where you take it and see and say, oh yeah, Saquon Barkley's not going to be that good this season. So, I mean, as far as stats and all that, game doesn't really mean much, but I'm curious to see how well Saquon Barkley plays for the Giants tonight. So then we get the Steelers and Eagles. I mean, games like this, Eagles are Super Bowl champs, so, I mean, they're not a team who picked low enough to have a marquee rookie or anything like that. So more so, you're looking at guys like Corey Clement, Donnell Pumphrey, and all those guys, seeing how they do since they didn't really get too much time last season. As for the Steelers, you want to see how well a defense does, if it's improved, and what they need to do going forward to improve it more. But like I said, I mean, preseason isn't really something I'm assuming these two teams are worried about. Obviously, the younger guys need to develop, but these two teams are looking forward to the regular season and playoffs. Obviously, both expecting to win their division and go far. And as for the Steelers, I mean, like I said, the defense is what it all comes down to. They're going to win their division no matter what. That's fine. I don't think Cleveland is going to be good enough this season to challenge the Steelers. And I don't think Baltimore or the Bengals would be good enough either. So I'm sure they'll get to the playoffs. But like I said, it's a whole point where your defense let you down against the Jags. Your first playoff game of 2018 and the Jags put up a 45 spot on you. Not necessarily great, is it? No. So the Steelers got to figure out if this kid Edmonds that they drafted, Terrell Edmonds, their first round pick, is the answer at safety. And they got to see who else could step in and help this defense. Of course, you got three future Hall of Famers on your offense, but I mean, perfect point. You're high scoring 42 while you're giving up 45 to the opposition. Not really going to help you win ball games there. And as for the Eagles, I mean, obviously the question with them going into the season is their quarterback situation. Obviously, Nick Foles is the guy, and basically they're just trying to figure out how they want to go about this whole Carson Wentz thing, meaning when's the right time to bring him back? I mean, we all know that Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback for this team, but there's a point where you don't want to bring him back too early, and you don't want to bring him in late enough to the point where it might cause a controversy, because there's honestly a possibility this Eagles team starts out 3-0, 4-0. And if that happens, let's say Wentz doesn't come back till about week 5 or week 4 and the Eagles are 3-0, 4-0 at the time, there might be a bit of a QB controversy there. I mean, I get Wentz is your guy and all that, but why are you going to mess up not a sure thing, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it here with Nick Foles? And again, it's not like this is going to happen and all that, but it is a possibility. Then you got the Saints and Jags playing the last game of the night. Well, not the last game of the night, the last game of this segment, excuse me. Like I said, for the Eagles and Steelers, same goes for the Saints and Jags. Preseason isn't necessarily a priority. It's more so about what you're going to do in the regular season and playoffs for these two teams. And when I say preseason isn't a priority for these teams, I'm meaning like for the other teams where maybe it is, that you got some young players who are going to be starters that you need to develop and all that, and this time is crucial. Saints and Jags pretty much have all their starters here, ready to go. They already know what their team's going to be looking like week one. At least they hope they do. So that's what I mean by that. But either way, I mean, for the Jags here in this game, I mean, if you're going to be watching out for anything, it's their wide receivers. No Allen Robinson, no Allen Hurns. Those two are gone now. So now you got guys like Keenan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Marquise Lee. How well are those guys going to perform? Allen Robinson, I think we could all say, was a very good number one receiver for this team. Allen Hurns had one good breakout year since then. Didn't really put up big numbers like that since, but has been a decent number two. Now you're coming in with a whole new group. Well, I mean, group that was there last year, but more so a group that didn't get too much playing time or anything like that. And you're going to see how well they look with Blake Bortles. So that's obviously what you got to look for with the Jags today. As for the Saints, I mean, I'm not really looking forward to the young guys. Obviously, you got Davenport and all that there, rookie. But either way, I mean, like I said, for both of these teams, preseason is a little blip on the radar. It's all about the regular season of playoffs. And for the Saints, I mean, you want to get a Super Bowl before Breeze retires. And for the Jags, I mean, you just want to establish yourself as one of those contenders in the AFC. Last year, the Jags did well, made it to the AFC title game. But here's a year where pretty much you got to double down on that. And like I said, just establish yourself. Jags got the defense to do it. They got the running back to do it. Offensive line looks good. It's just a matter of can Blake Bortles and those receivers connect well enough to the point where this offense is putting up good points. So we'll see what ends up happening. Like I said, I'm not really going to be watching Saints, Jags, or Eagles, Steelers, just because, like I said, we all know what those teams are going to be looking like week one. But as far as winners for today, I'll go with Cleveland. I figure Drew Stanton and Baker Mayfield are going to do enough for that team to get it done in this preseason game. I'll go with the Steelers against Philly. Going to see how well Mason Rudolph does there. Saints and Jags, I'll go Saints there. Actually, I'll go Jags there, so we'll see how right I am. Again, this is just preseason, but we're warming up a bit here, getting ready for the regular season, as are these NFL teams. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking about three more games. We will be getting to Redskins, Patriots, Rams, Ravens, and then Titans, Packers. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Spent the first two segments talking about three games each, and now we're going to be doing that for this segment where we talk Redskins, Patriots, Rams, Ravens, and then Titans, Packers. Last segment we talked Jags, Saints, Eagles, Steelers, Giants, Browns. So let's just get it going. All right, so Redskins, Patriots. I think just like the last two games we talked about, this game right here is one where both teams are pretty established, meaning both teams got their quarterbacks. I mean, that's basically what it means there. Both got their quarterbacks who aren't coming into their second and third year. Guys who at best are just pretty much just veterans just trying to play out their career in Tom Brady and Alex Smith. We both know what they bring to the table. We both know how well they play. So, I mean, not too many younger, actually, you know what, I wouldn't say that. The Patriots, what we got to watch for here is the wide receivers. As of right now, the Patriots receiving corps stinks out loud, at least that's what we think, looking at them on paper. Got rid of Malcolm Mitchell, got rid of Jordan Matthews, ended up signing Eric Decker. We don't really regard Eric Decker as far as being a top receiver in the league anymore. Not that he ever was, but he was one who was productive and was a solid number one, very good number two. So now we're going to see what these receivers can do, because I figure that the receivers competition, I mean, it's wide open. Anyone could start for this team, whether it being Cordarrelle Patterson, Eric Decker, Chris Hogan, or Braxton Berrios. I mean, all those guys can find spots on the team. I'd say the only guy that really has a starting spot is Julian Edelman, but that won't be happening until he comes back after serving his four-game suspension. So I'd say there's two spots open. Technically three for the first 4 weeks, and whoever gets Edelman's spot, I mean, is going to be in a tough position, but if they play well enough, you know Belichick's going to keep you on the field. So obviously you want to look out there, want to see how well that offensive line does, and I'm curious to see how well Sonny Michel does in his first game. I mean, the dude's got incredible vision. It's ridiculous. And I believe he's got a lazy eye, but either way, I just wanted to put that out there so no one thinks I'm making a joke. Like, the dude is literally one of the best in this draft class as far as running back vision. So curious to see how he does. As far as the defense, I think they got a pretty solid defense. I think we know what they got there. As for the Redskins, Josh Dotson is the man to watch for along with Darius Geis. I think Dotson is currently heading into his second year. Showed flashes in that first year. Didn't really do too much. So you want to see him take the next step. And as far as Darius Geis, he's got to have a problem with the fact that Saquon Barkley has basically had all the publicity on him as far as being the top running back in this class. I'm sure Darius Geis thinks he's the better running back amongst the two, and there is an argument to be made there. There really is. I get that Saquon Barkley checks all the boxes as far as, I mean, all the combine stuff and all that, but Darius Geis is a guy who could just flat out go out and ball. So we'll see how these two teams do here. I mean, going into the season, the Patriots obviously looking to win another Super Bowl. Lost to Philly last year, so they're trying to redeem themselves. And, I mean, we figure that Brady and Belichick don't really have much time left in this league, meaning they'll probably be retiring soon. I mean, there's chatter being reported and all that some people just think that Brady could just call it quits. I think it's been Mike Florio who's really been the man behind this one, but he thinks Brady can just pretty much call it quits if they just end up winning the Super Bowl this season. And, I mean, that's a possibility. His wife talks about Brady and his concussions a lot. I mean, we all know that she wants him not to play anymore. She's, what, the highest paid model in the world? I figure the model business, you do pretty well for yourself if you're the highest paid. So, I mean, really, there isn't really any incentive for Tom Brady to keep playing. I mean, he's already pretty much done everything. He's won Super Bowls. He's already regarded, I think, amongst the majority of people in the football world, fans, everyone included, that he is the greatest quarterback of all time. So, I mean, honestly, what more left does he have to play for? Plus, if Brady retires, he gives a whole lot of other teams chances to win some stuff. So, I'm just saying there. But, yeah, Patriots obviously looking to win a Super Bowl. Nothing's really changed with that team. And as for the Redskins, they're flying under the radar, but they could shock some people just like the Cardinals could. Redskins aren't that flashy team. They're not America's team. They're not a team who just recently won the Super Bowl, and they're not a team who plays in New York. They play in Washington, and for the most part, last couple decades, they haven't really won anything. I'm not saying they're going to go out and maybe make it to a Super Bowl or anything like that, but I'm just saying that they could be in that playoff picture come December, and they could be a legit team to make the playoffs. Alex Smith is a good quarterback. You can't tell me otherwise. I could care less what anyone has to say about Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a good quarterback, and I will die on that hill. Do I think he's a top 10 quarterback? No, I think he's probably the 10th, 11th, 12th best quarterback, so kind of in that area. But either way, Alex Smith is a good quarterback, and he knows how to play the position well. All you have to do is stick some talent around him. People get so stuck up on his terrible SF years and the fact that he didn't really go far in the playoffs with Andy Reid and the Chiefs and attribute that to him being a bad quarterback. That's not the case. Back with San Francisco, when they stunk because that organization was a garbage, was a dumpster fire. It was terrible. Didn't even know what to do there. And they bring in Harbaugh, finally bring some stability to that organization and some smarts there. And look at that. Alex Smith looks great. Then you take him over to KC, where they got a decent team and a good coach. Alex Smith's in a good situation. He plays well. And I'm not going to put him not going far in the playoffs on him. I don't put that Tennessee game on him. That's on Andy Reid. And that game where they gave up that huge lead to the Colts, I mean, he did his job. Defense, the one who gave up the points. So, I mean, just as long as I'm not going to count on Jordan Reed either for this season. If he stays healthy, that's a plus. But if I'm the Redskins, I'm kind of going into the season thinking, yeah, you be the starter and all that. But hey, Vernon, make sure you're paying attention over there. Vernon Davis is the guy to watch for over here with Washington. I think Vernon Davis, he's not going to look like how he did with San Francisco, but that Alex Smith-Vernon Davis connection can do some magic this season, I'd say. Like I said, I want to see how Josh Dotson does. I think Jamison Crowder is going to play well, and I really like this Washington Redskins defense. So do not sleep on the Washington Redskins. That is a verbal warning. So as far as my winner for this game, I guess I'll go Redskins since Colt McCoy's the backup. I think the theme I'm going with for picking teams here is whoever's got the better backups. So I'll go Washington there. Then we got the Rams and Ravens playing. The Rams are already an established team. They already know who their starting 11 on both sides of the ball is going to be. I mean, I'd say I'm not too excited as far as their rookies, just being honest here. So it's more so one where the preseason doesn't really matter for this team. They're just trying to get to the Super Bowl. But for the Ravens, tryout number 2 for RG3. Going to see how he looks. Hopefully going to get some more time watching him play. And also Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson didn't necessarily play great in the Hall of Fame game, but I think did do well enough to show us that, yes, this kid definitely has some talent. And if he takes a year or two, he will be a star. I think we could all agree on that. So, obviously, Lamar Jackson, the story to watch for in this Rams-Ravens game. Going to see how he does. I want to see how RG3 does also. The Ravens are just going to be an interesting team, just considering that they got 3 solid quarterbacks. Solid quarterbacks, at least for the preseason. I think we could all say Joe Flacco has become a below-average quarterback. But either way, I mean, like I said, the Rams are not really much to look forward to for the preseason. It's just more so Super Bowl or bust type of year for them. And like I said, that's all you can really say about the Rams. I mean, there's no making the playoffs. That's the goal. Like, no, the goal is to win the Super Bowl for that team. You don't bring on all those guys and not expect to be in the Super Bowl. So, obviously, if I'm putting on the Rams and Ravens game, I'm going to be watching for Lamar Jackson and RG3. As far as my winner, I'm going to go Baltimore. I mean, like I said, they got the better backup quarterbacks. So then for the final game to cover for this segment, we got Titans and Packers. Talked about yesterday, Aaron Rodgers wasn't too happy with the young receivers not being up to speed. Aaron Rodgers didn't got much time left. Aaron Rodgers needs to win another Super Bowl or two. Aaron Rodgers has the talent to be regarded as the best quarterback of all time. He's got the talent. We all have seen what he can do. Now he needs to build up his resume. Needs maybe another MVP on there. Needs another all-pro team. Needs to maybe make another Pro Bowl. Throw for about 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns. Get a Super Bowl. Now, like I said, all he's got to do is build that resume. I think we could all establish that he's a Hall of Famer. But now you want to make that all-time status. So, yeah. Packers, all they got to do is go out and win a Super Bowl. That's the goal. That is the absolute goal right there. As for the Titans, how about we just improve that offense compared to last season? I mean, last season the offense was brutal. Marcus Mariota didn't look good at all last season. And when I mean at all, I literally mean week to week, he was terrible. I think that was more so Mike Mularkey's fault rather than Marcus Mariota's. I think Matt LaFleur is going to work wonders with this offense, and I think they're going to be one of the 10 best offenses in the league, dare I say it. I like Derrick Henry. I like Deion Lewis. Curious to see how Corey Davis does tonight. And as far as the Packers, I mean, they got their running back competition that they got to worry about along with their cornerbacks. So we'll see some of those cornerbacks go up against a guy like Corey Davis, whether it be Josh Jackson or I can't remember. I think it was Alexander, the other one, Jaire Alexander out of Louisville, I believe, for the Packers. One of them is going to be going up against Corey Davis, I'm sure. So we'll see how they do there. I guess that's the matchup to watch right there is Corey Davis versus those rookie cornerbacks. So as far as a winner for this game, I'll go with the Packers again. Brett Hundley, Deshaun Kizer got the better backup quarterback. So that's all I got to say about that. We're going to wrap it up here. Next segment, we'll be finishing up talking about the Texans-Chiefs game, Cowboys-49ers, and then Colts-Seahawks. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've gone through 9 of the 12 preseason games, been talking about each game, talking about what to watch for and all that. Now we finish off with the last three, Texans, Chiefs, Cowboys, 49ers, Colts, Seahawks. So let's start it off with the Texans and Chiefs game. I mean, obviously, what to watch for here. If they are going to be playing, I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes definitely will be, but I mean, you're watching Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure, because I haven't double-checked today yet before, because obviously now we're starting to figure out who's playing tonight and who's not, but whether or not Deshaun Watson is playing. Deshaun Watson obviously tearing his ACL last season was a bummer for the Texans. And I guess it was a bummer, even if you weren't a Texans fan. I wasn't a Texans fan at all, but I remember I was recording the podcast for this show. I see the update, and I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. Why? Because Deshaun Watson was tearing it up last year. It was honestly fun to watch Deshaun Watson play. Like, it was entertaining. It was electric, all that stuff. But seems like he is going to be playing tonight from what I'm reading right here. So, obviously, yeah, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are the guys to watch for in this game. Deshaun Watson, because of the fact that the guy's torn his ACL twice over the course of his football career. Once at Clemson, once here with the Texans. Deshaun Watson isn't necessarily a guy who is going to... He's not going to be a guy who's going to... Like, he's not a guy who takes off with the ball. He's not a scramble quarterback. He could throw inside the pocket, so I think he's going to be fine there. But obviously, there are times where he's got to take off with the ball, and at times where he is going to use his legs. So obviously, you're going to see maybe if he does that at all today. I'm not too sure if the Texans are just going to let him loose or if they're going to kind of limit him as far as the play calls and all that tonight. But either way, going to be watching for Deshaun Watson. Curious to see if J.J. Watt plays. You figure a guy as good as J.J. Watt probably won't. But either way, we'll see about it. And as far as the players not playing for the Steelers tonight, I see it's T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger. So just to give an update there. So then over with the Chiefs, you got Pat Mahomes. We know Kareem Hunt's a good running back. We know Tyreek Hill's a good receiver. We know Travis Kelce's one of the best tight ends in the league. Is Patrick Mahomes good enough to play with these guys? Meaning, is he going to play up to their level, or are they going to have to kind of wait around for Patrick Mahomes? The Chiefs really went out on a limb here by getting rid of Alex Smith and making Mahomes the starter for this season, just given the fact that, I mean, you had a good thing the last few years. Of course, you didn't really go far in the playoffs. I don't necessarily think that was your quarterback's fault. But, I mean, you were making the playoffs. Now you bring in a guy in Pat Mahomes who, yes, probably has the strongest arm in the NFL. But is he going to get you to the playoffs? Or is it going to take a couple of years before you get back just because he's got to develop? And I think if you got to wait a couple of years for Pat Mahomes to get you to the playoffs, then those are wasted 2 years. This team is good enough to the point where maybe the defense needs a little bit of work, but the defense was better. Maybe they're Super Bowl contenders if you're not looking at quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs do this season. I wouldn't necessarily say, actually, you know what? I do think that division might be up for grabs. I'd say right now the Chargers are the front runners to take that division. But also, I mean, you got to worry about the Broncos, and then you got a Raiders team who, I mean, with Gruden, could be very good or could be very bad. So I don't think it's going to be a far and away best team in that division. So I think everyone has a chance as long as you got about 8-9 wins there. So we'll see what ends up happening. But as far as the Texans this season, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, ready to go, no limitations, and he's able to play his game the way he knows how to play, I mean, this is a sleeper Super Bowl contender right here. It's just the whole point with the Texans is that all their top players are the ones who usually end up being injured. It's not like, oh yeah, we lost our second stringer here, we lost our third stringer there. Like, no, we lost our starting linebacker, starting defensive end, we lost our starting quarterback, our starting running back's been banged up, our starting safety's hurt. I mean, it's ridiculous how many starters this team loses every single year. So, we'll see what ends up happening. Plus, when J.J. Watt is healthy, usually makes for a pretty exciting season in the defensive player of the year race. So, like I said, we'll see. As far as who I got winning tonight, I'm not sure what's going on with the Chiefs' backup quarterback situation. Haven't really looked too much into it. As for the Texans, I'm figuring they got Brandon Whedon back there. Ooh. I gotta go Chiefs. As much as I want to go with the Texans and Brandon Whedon, just considering he's the ultimate backup quarterback, but the guy's just honestly just not a good quarterback at all. So I'll go Chiefs tonight. So then we got the Cowboys and 49ers. I'm not sure how much Dak Prescott's playing, if he's playing. Same with Ezekiel Elliott. I think just the story to watch here is how well these Cowboys receivers play, how well that secondary does in the however many series Jimmy Garoppolo plays. And I mean, that's the matchup to watch here. Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Cowboys series. Why? Because obviously we want to see what Jimmy Garoppolo can do in his first full series, first full season. And I mean, like, this is his first season, like, established as the 49ers quarterback. Obviously, we seen him last season, but, like, now we know going into season, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy. And, obviously, with the Cowboys secondary, this is one where, if they want to do anything in the NFC, they got to play well. So, it's good to see how well these guys going up against each other. Also curious to see the Jerick McKinnon. There's been a lot of hype around him. I'm kind of not sold on him, just given the fact that his first two seasons in Minnesota, sure, he was good as the backup. His last two seasons, they got worse. His yards per carry dropped to under 4 yards per game. I think he was at 3.4 one season, 3.6 the other. Plus, I mean, when they lost Adrian Peterson, it wasn't like the Vikings were like, yeah, Jerick, you're our starting running back. You've been here. You're our starting guy. We trust you. Like, no, they went out and drafted Dalvin Cook to be their starting running back. Didn't even think about keeping Jerick McKinnon. So, and even then, watching Jerick McKinnon last year after Dalvin Cook tore his ACL, did Jerick McKinnon really strike you as far as being a starting running back in the league? I mean, he was decent, but I don't think he was starting material. Again, just my opinion. Could be wrong, but I don't know. And I'm curious to see how Dante Pettis does also. I think 49ers might be trying to make him their starting wide receiver. Watching Dante Pettis at Washington, never really thought that he was a starting caliber wide receiver in the NFL. At least not a number one type of receiver. Number two or number three, sure. But as far as being a number one receiver, thought, I never really saw that. It never really jumped out at me. So, I mean, 49ers did a whole lot more scouting this guy than I did, so they could be right. But like I said, I mean, they got questions at running back and wide receiver there. So we'll see what ends up happening. As far as who I got winning, going with the 49ers, I'll take C.J. Beathard to win the game for them. So then for the final game of the night and the final game to talk about for today's show, Colts Seahawks, only thing to look forward to in this game, the only thing to watch for is Andrew Luck. That is it. Not the Seahawks' new defense, when in reality, yes, pay attention to the defense. Curious to see how they do. But like I said, we all know, everyone's watching to see how Andrew Luck does. Andrew Luck has not played, did not play last season. It seems like he hasn't played in years when in reality all he did was miss last season. Curious to see what he looks like throwing the ball, how that shoulder's going to hold up. Again, Andrew Luck can go 1-for-7 tonight for only 5 yards and 3 interceptions. Wouldn't be a problem. Just more so excited to see Andrew Luck play football again. So that's what you're going to be watching for in this game. Though I will be going with, actually, the Colts. They got Jacoby Brissett. I'm sure he's going to play a decent amount. So, yeah, I got the Colts winning this game. So we'll see how each game goes. I mean, I'm curious to see who ends up playing and who doesn't amongst the starters. But either way, I think you could find something in each game to look forward to. Obviously, it's going to be a bit boring at times. But like I said, if you find the matchups and players to watch for, then it'll make it a little bit more better for you to watch. So that's all I got to say about that. We're going to wrap it up here for today. Today, I mean, basically, we spent each segment talking about 3 different games of the opening night of preseason. And talked about which players to watch for and the storylines to watch for these teams going into the season. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.